Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Currently, we're in the upper 50s throughout the upstate of South Carolina, going to reach a high of around 80 degrees today in most places under partly cloudy skies. So it should be a nice day as you make your way out for work. Special program today on this 17th day of May, 2005. We're going to be having Mr. Alex Jones, the notorious Alex Jones, joining us starting by telephone about 8 o'clock today. This is just 30 minutes from now. Alex Jones, of course, is an outspoken well-known conspiracy theorist, if you want to call him, person who's going to have a lot of understanding into the patriot community. We're going to ask him some questions about 9/11, among other things, to see what he thinks about actually happened on that fateful day. Was the government truly involved with this, and to what extent? I'm sure he has quite a strong opinion about that, and we're going to be discussing it here later on Christian Worldview. Roy writes in this morning with a question. He says, Dr. Coben, what do you say, and all thinking men for that matter, are we to believe that utopia becomes possible when we do away with all authority figures in the community and larger community we call state? Well, the answer to this, Roy, is absolutely not, because you're making a confusion of terms here. All authority figures in the community, at larger community, is not the state. The state is the coercive arm that starts out normally as government, perhaps, and then is transformed into a proactive force for changing your behavior by coercion, confiscating your funds via coercion, and redistributing them according to as it sees fit. It is often the arm of society, if you want to call it that, is parasitic, and also creates public enterprises, that is, takes over things that are normally done by markets and does it themselves. So this is what the state is in the larger sense. There are plenty of other kinds of authority in society. For instance, you have families, you have fathers and mothers. Fathers being the heads of homes. You also have, obviously, mothers having some authority over their children. You have other agents that are assigned by families or parents to be in charge. Those would include, to some extent, teachers or people who you say, look, I'm going to delegate this responsibility to you. I have the authority as a parent to do that over this child. You have security guards and police force. These things are part of constitutional government, and those are authority figures. Those are not part of the state, so to speak. At any rate, we could go on with a lot of different authority figures or types of authority in the community that exist without there being a state. At the time of Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and those folks, when they wrote the Constitution, the Articles of Confederation, they believed that authorities did exist, whether it be in the church or in the family, and they recognized those things. They didn't try to do away with them. They simply tried to put checks and balances on government so that it would not get out of hand as it has today and become a proactive state. So, in answer to your question, Roy, all I can say is, your thesis is wrong on its face, because you've somehow equated the state to be all authority figures in the community and larger community, which is simply not the case. We did have a fascinating, long discussion yesterday about the state, and no doubt this is in part a response to what was sent in. Appreciate the email, though, Roy, and if you have any other questions or comments, by all means, do contact us here at the show. Well, we have more bloody murder in Iraq. The last 2 weeks, CBS News reports that we have had over 500 people killed by the civil war or terrorism that's now going on in that country. Very sad. This, of course, as far as I'm concerned, has spawned by our invasion there and our crazy, insane war led by George W. Bush. At any rate, that's life over there for them now. It's a tragedy, and it's going to continue for some time to come without any question. Also, we have the conviction of the woman. I won't go into any detail, but one of the women that was involved with all this sexual abuse, this torture in Guantanamo Bay and of Cuba with the Iraqi detainees in 2003. She may get up to 5.5 years in prison for that, which we're glad to see, and I suppose, although I don't really like the idea of prisons, but what a sad thing that this happened. And just indicative of American morality, indicative of the way the state behaves, its ethical system, if anything goes. Of course, they're just destroying this woman. Who knows if she was really behind it herself to think about doing all this stuff on her own. No doubt there were other people much higher up that had this planned out. Then we have a WorldNet Daily.com article that's here, Brave New Schools. Little Black Book teaches kids gay sex. Massachusetts group decries aggressive pro-homosexual advocacy. A Massachusetts activist organization today will mark the one-year anniversary of same-sex marriage in the state by discussing the dark underbelly of the institution in front of Boston City Hall. The Article 8 Alliance claims that the state schools have become more active in pushing homosexuality with students, pointing to an April 30th event at Brookline High School. Disgusting. Sponsored by the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, the event, said the Article 8 Alliance, featured a hardcore pornographic homosexual how-to booklet given to hundreds of kids. The book was prominently distributed at the first table right after registration, where everyone would be sure to go. The group states on its website, the booklet entitled The Little Black Book, Queer in the 21st Century, contains what the activist group calls deadly information, misinformation on health. Included in the booklet are graphic descriptions of homosexual conduct, including fisting, along with a spread discussion of condoms and instructions on how to put them on. Also included in this list of homosexual bars and clubs in the Boston area for discerning queer boy. And Article 8 Alliance points out that the students attending the event were of middle school and high school age. The booklet mentions abstaining from risky activity and then states, but how much fun is that? I won't read all the rest of this disgusting stuff. This is right on WorldNet Daily today. No doubt it's there to provide a little bit of shock for you this morning. And it is indeed shocking to see what these queers or whatever, well, that's what they call themselves there, queers, sodomites are up to. It's a disgusting thing that they practice, and it's disgusting what they're up to in public schools. Are we surprised here at Christian Worldview? No, it's more evidence, again, that Christians should have nothing to do with the public school. Don't give us this malarkey about being salt and light unless you've cast kids into a pit of tar like this where they have to go through and be abused psychologically and otherwise by these imbeciles, by these hedonists, by these pagans who and their various rituals and rites and practices in the public school. They're getting this stuff thrust upon them on a daily basis, folks, and this is just so typical of what you find at the public school. An announcement right before we go to the break. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the meetup at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. That's at Cafe Underground, just off of Main Street, downtown Greenville. We'd love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And we're very glad that you are part of what we do here at the Libertarian Party. This is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Right is right, even if everyone is against it. And wrong is wrong, even if everyone is for it. William Penn. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
It may interest you to know that there is a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom, and supporters of this show, Nelson Waller, in particular, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/firstfreedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. And I also like to remind you folks that today, on today's show, at least for the first half hour, you're going to need to call the backup line, not the number you just heard, but 864-201-6955. So make sure you call that number, 864-201-6955, if you want to be on the show. Once we begin the time with Alex Jones at 8 o'clock, we're going to probably go for an hour on a dialogue in a dialogue matter, because our second phone line has still failed here at the Tyranny Response Network studio. We're not going to be able to take call-ins, unfortunately. It's just going to be a dialogue with Alex and I. I apologize for that, but our production staff have not been able to, and again, they're volunteers and they do a great job, but they've not been able to get our backup phone line up and running yet. So at 8 o'clock, you can join us for then, and until then, you can call in on the backup line, 864-201-6955. Well, a couple of interesting critiques going on about George W. Bush. First of all, Chuck Baldwin writes in, the entertainment world is all abuzz with the release of the final Star Wars episode, Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Siths, or the Sith, is the final installment of the popular sci-fi saga, which has spanned more than two decades and has captured the imagination of young and old alike. Just remember when you look, by the way, at this guy's stuff, he's a communist or a Marxist in his philosophy. And you ever notice in Star Wars that no one ever produces, no one actually ever works, other than you see the commanders doing things. Food comes out of nothing, just created out of molecules or something with some computer. You actually live in a society where there's really not much more work going on. It's a very, very Marxian theme, running through George Lucas's mind. Anyway, one of the attractive elements of the creator-director George Lucas's Star Wars films has been the clear good versus evil theme that ubiquitously, that means all around the place, everywhere, appears throughout the storylines. However, according to early previews in the latest film, the clearly delineated line between good and evil is not so easily defined in The Revenge of the Sith. The story centers around a principal evil character, Darth Vader's struggle and eventual surrender to the dark side. In the film, Lucas presents a dark and sordid picture of how the good Anakin Skywalker becomes the evil Darth Vader. Yet there's another element to the story. In Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, reviewers are also witness the demise of a republic and the rise of an empire. Lucas pictures a warmongering, bloodthirsty empire whose roots had once burrowed deeply into the soil of freedom and democracy, but no more. the once peace-loving republic had been turned into an aggressor state that laid waste all its adversaries without mercy. After viewing the early releases of the movie, many viewers have come away with them in the screening rooms comparing Darth Vader's empire to the actions of President George W. Bush. This is more than interesting when one considers that Lucas wrote the story long before George W. Bush became president. In fact, Richard Nixon was in the White House when Lucas wrote Star Wars. However, the similarities appear to be striking. At one point, in the film, the Anakin Skywalker says just before becoming Darth Vader, "You are either with me or you're my enemy." Of course, we clearly remember when President Bush said, "You're either with us or against us in the fight against terrorism." Speaking to reporters, Lucas said, "When I wrote Star Wars, Iraq, the U.S.-led war, didn't exist. But the parallels are unbelievable." He went on to say that the issue was, how does democracy turn itself into a dictatorship? Indeed, how does democracy turn itself into a dictatorship? That is a very relevant question for this generation of Americans to ponder, as it does appear the United States is currently on that very path. Remember that a dictatorship can be composed of one all-powerful ruler or a group of all-powerful rulers. An oligarchy is just as tyrannical as a monarchy. I recommend that everyone read Pat Buchanan's book, A Republic or an Empire. Obviously, one of the marks of an empire is the insatiable desire for war, the constant need for military incursions into foreign territories, regardless of the cost in dollars of human lives. An empire can never rest from armed conflict. Indeed, armed conflict feeds and sustains the empire, which brings us to the George W. Bush administration. Virtually everyone knows that the reasons President Bush gave for invading Iraq were invalid or even deceptive. Therefore, whatever the real reasons for the invasion were, they were known only to Bush and a few selected insiders. Furthermore, not only is there no resolution in sight for America's military involvement in Iraq, now it seems that the Bush administration is making plans to extend the war into Syria and Iran and even to North Korea. I believe it's time for the American people, especially conservatives, to begin asking themselves some serious questions. Does George W. Bush intend that the United States be in a state of perpetual war? Is he seeking monsters to destroy? Does he envision the global empire headed by all-powerful rulers? These questions deserve studious attention, especially when one recalls that shortly after being elected, President Bush once quipped, "If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator." Looking back, we might need to consider that he was not joking. President Bush is making it very difficult for conservatives such as myself to articulate to people the difference between the need of an independent republic, what America used to be, for a strong, ready defense, and the need for a global empire, what America is becoming, for an omnipotent, omnipresent global police force. Put another way, do Lucas fictional character Darth Vader and President G.W. Bush share a common vision of empire? And would the American people even be able to recognize it if they did? Or they probably just accept it because it sounds Star Wars-ish, and maybe they like that. I don't know. Pat Buchanan, at the end of his note today, not that I necessarily like Pat Buchanan all the time, but once in a while he does have something interesting to say, as many do. The president's problem is this, a conviction politician. He believes deeply in his ideology and policies, but the country is coming to believe neither is working for America. Either he makes a mid-course correction or the country will make it for him in 2006. Now, our research staff set this up to me, and this is a rather strange comment. First of all, I'm not sure that he's a conviction politician in the sense that he really believes what he's saying. I believe he's good at giving lip service to things. He says he believes deeply in his ideology and policies. I somewhat doubt that, at least not in the what he gives lip service to. What he probably believes deeply in is an empire-building dictatorship, as Baldwin talks about. But the country is coming neither to believe is working for America. Either he makes a mid-course correction, or the country will make it for him in 2006. Well, I don't know what Buchanan's talking about here. It's a second-term president, unless he plans to amend the Constitution. He's out anyway. That's the problem, folks. As soon as you reelected George W. Bush, you got a guy who's got free reign to do whatever he wants. He'll do whatever he wants. And maybe he and his brother Jeb will have a fight so Jeb can then come in and continue the dynasty, showing that he's going to do better than old GW did before him. Crazy. At any rate, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're coming up to a break, and we'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Power tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Lord Acton.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
I contend that for a nation to try to tax itself into prosperity is like a man standing in a bucket and trying to lift himself up by the handle. Winston Churchill. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Trying to do that precise thing here on Christian Worldview this morning. Did you know what your state motto is? The producer of the show thought it would be funny if I read a few of the state mottos and what they should be. Alabama, yes, we have electricity. Alaska, 11,623 Eskimos can't be wrong. Arizona, but it's a dry heat. Arkansas, literacy ain't everything, without an N in everything. California, by 30, our women have more plastic than your Honda. Colorado, if you don't ski, don't bother. Connecticut, like Massachusetts, only the Kennedys don't own it yet. Delaware, we really do like the chemicals in our water. Florida, ask us about our grandkids and our voting skills. Georgia, we put the fun in fundamentalist extremism. Is that right? Who wrote this thing up here? We have to ask the producer who made up this kind of stuff. Hawaii, haka tiki mui shami liki toru? I don't know what that is. Death to the mainland scum, leave your money. That's what it means. Idaho, more than just potatoes. Well, okay, we're not, but the potatoes sure are real good. Well, maybe we'll read a few more of those some other time. Back to more serious stuff here. I want to promote for you today the Times Examiner. The Times Examiner is a fledgling and struggling newspaper. That's the conservative voice of the Palmetto State, the only place you can get great columnists here locally and great views on the news locally, taken from a libertarian or conservative point of view. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville. The phone number there is 864-268-0576. That's you can talk to Bob Dill or Laverl. Ask for a subscription. It's only $25 a year. 864-268-0576. That's the Times Examiner. Read great columnists, Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, Joe Sobrin, Charlie Reese, yours truly, the Tyranny Response Unit, Dr. John Coben, Ben Graydon, and many others. Well worth the money invested. Read it every week, and also help the Times Examiner as it struggles to stay afloat. If you have a business that can run an ad in the Times Examiner, we're encouraging you to do that. Call Bob Dill again at 268-0576 in the 864 area code and take out an ad for your business there and help support one of the great newspapers, or the only good newspaper we have in the upstate of South Carolina if we're getting correct political information. At any rate, we also need to turn your attention to tyrannyresponse.com. That's our new website, folks, tyrannyresponse.com. It's been Rippin' Richie Williams has been creating this website especially for us. It contains all of our announcements as well as our audio files, the Liberty Minutes programs, links, and a bunch of information about Christian Worldview and other upcoming events on the Tyranny Response Network. Check out tyrannyresponse.com, and you'll be glad that you did. Well, we have one interesting deep think story before we get to the top of the hour, and our host, our special guest today on the show, Alex Jones, comes on. I've received from the People's Awareness Coalition on email the other day a excerpt from something that was written by a fellow named Lysander Spooner, who is a great forerunner, I suppose, of maybe what we call a classical liberal or libertarian. He was born in 1808 and died in 1887, and undoubtedly had some misgivings, to say the least, about General Grant and his brutal war against the South and the way he treated Southerners. Thought this was interesting to read a little bit about, a little bit from his what he had to say shortly after the war was over. And this is a piece called, or an excerpt called, No Treason. He says, "This program having been fully arranged and systematized, they put their sword into the hands of the chief murderer of the war, no doubt General Grant, and charge him to carry their scheme into effect. And now he, speaking as their organ, says, 'Let us have peace.' The meaning of this is, submit quietly to all the robbery and slavery we have arranged for you, and you can have peace. But in case you resist, the same lenders of blood money who furnished the means to subdue the South will furnish the means again to subdue you. These are the terms on which alone this government, or with a few exceptions any other, ever gives peace to its people. The whole affair, or the part of those who furnished the money, has been and now is a deliberate scheme of robbery and murder, not merely to monopolize the markets of the South, but also to monopolize the currency, and thus control the industry and trade, and thus plunder and enslave the laborers, both North and South. And Congress and the President are today the merest tools for these purposes. They are obliged to be, for they know that their own power, as rulers so-called, is at an end. The moment their credit with the blood money loan mongers fails, they are like a bankrupt, in the hands of an extortioner. They dare not say nay to any demand made upon them, and to hide at once, if possible, both their servility and their crimes, they attempt to divert public attention by crying out that they have abolished slavery, that they have saved the country, that they have preserved our glorious Union, and that now paying the national debt, as they call it, as if people themselves, all of them who are to be taxed for its payment, had really and voluntarily joined in contracting it, they are simply maintaining the national honor. By maintaining the national honor, they mean simply that they themselves are open robbers and murderers, assumed to be that the nation, and will keep faith with those who lend them money, because money necessary to enable them to crush the great body of people under their feet, and will faithfully appropriate from the proceeds of the future robberies and murders enough to pay all their loans, principal, and interest." This is a fantastic article. It's quite a long excerpt, but you can tell what Lysander Spooner is definitely with us as far as having a Christian worldview of the state. Now, I don't know if this man was a Christian or not, but I'll tell you what. He understands exactly what the state's all about and calls Lincoln's gang, the leftovers that is, like President Grant, who was formerly General Grant, the butcher, the drunkard, the cruel general, who some people actually think was wiser than Lee, and actually I heard that just the other day. What a fallacy. I guess if you throw enough men at something and kill 5 to 1, 5 of yours for every one of theirs, if you call that kind of brutality and cruelty in war and genius, then maybe it is, but I don't think so. Anyway, Spooner hits it right on the head. These government agents back then were robbers and murderers, not only because of what they did to the South, because of what they threatened on all the people in America, and he's hit the nail right on the head here. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute with Alex Jones, so stay tuned.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Contemplate the mangled bodies of your countrymen, and then say, what should be the reward of such sacrifices? If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude than the animating contest of freedom, go from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains sit lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. Samuel Adams.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The ultimate result of shielding men from the effects of folly is to fill the world with fools. Herbert Spencer, English philosopher, 1820 through 1903.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we'd like to welcome you back into Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this morning. Currently in the upstate of South Carolina, we have about 61, 62 degrees, depending where you are. Going to get up to pretty close to 80 degrees today under partly cloudy skies. Towards the late afternoon, there might be a chance of a stray shower or thunderstorm. But otherwise, it's going to be a nice day as you're making your way out for work this morning on this this beautiful spring day in South Carolina. Well, we have on the line with us this morning a caller this morning. Is it Paul on the line? Welcome to the show, Paul.
Good morning. How you all doing?
Just fine, thank you. Glad you called.
Yes, having a little internet trouble this morning.
Really? What happened?
Oh, I'm having an error. I'm trying to click on the link to hear the show. Error code's coming up. I must have the wrong program or something to listen to. I know you have a different website than you did a couple weeks ago, but nothing unusual around here.
I see. Okay. So, well, as far as we can tell from our equipment here at the Tyranny Response Studio, we are webcasting. So, as far as we can tell,
yeah, I'm sure there's a program I probably need for your updated website, and we'll figure it out sooner or later.
Okay. Good. Well, we've been talking.
Over the weekend, I was going to try to perhaps give you a really quick comment or maybe a book report on. Do you remember the a few months ago, John Garrison came out. He's a legal assistant with his father's Attorney General office. He wrote a small book on income tax and his dealings with the court on it. It was in the news some, and that was just a small, interesting book, but. And he was a proponent of the national sales tax instead of the income tax the way we know it. And of course, I'm certainly not an advocate of either one.
Right. Yeah. I appreciate that comment. I remember that there have been a number of things we've talked about, these people coming up with these different ideas. A problem I have with a national sales tax or flat tax primarily is that they're going to use that as a means to say they're going to get rid of income taxes and then just add it back in a couple of years, at any rate, and have even more taxes. I mean,
so we'll have both, exactly.
That's the nature of the way the state works.
And the major problem to me with each tax is that it's much money out of the government's part in the first place. If they just quit wasting it and stealing it and doing mischief with it, either tax would be completely unnecessary.
Right.
Is that your opinion?
Yes, it is mine as well, and I do appreciate that very much. What you're saying, Paul, is right on the money. We're going through a little bit of technical problems here in the studio while you're speaking. If you hear that rumbling on the line behind us, we're trying to move something around there. Some listeners are probably wondering what's all that rumbling noise going on. Well, we're having to make a couple of adjustments here in the studio, and for some reason it's getting into the broadcast frequency. Also, for listeners who are waiting to hear Alex Jones, we have not been able to. We've lost him on the line. We're going to have to go to a quick break as soon as we're done with Paul's call. But stay tuned because Alex Jones should be joining us live here on the line, and we'll getting to his call as soon as we possibly can. So for those of you who are waiting with bated breath to hear what Alex Jones is going to tell us about 9/11 and about why he thinks George W. Bush was involved with that and the details of that, well. Hopefully that'll be coming up shortly. One of our production staff, Brad, has been working hard to get to coordinate to Alex being on the show. And hopefully this morning we'll be able to get him here. But anyway, Paul, I appreciate the great comments this morning that you're making.
And well, I appreciate the great show, and Alex Jones has a lot of good information. I enjoy reading, watching his videos, and reading his website. It's hard not to believe that situations are. You know, 9/11 doesn't have some type of inside job component to it.
Yes.
A lot of peculiar things happen if you study the.
Well, there certainly seems to be a lot of reason for doubt. That's for sure.
Exactly.
When you look, I've read both sides. I'm not one who can advocate either way, just because I don't have enough data. But when I read it, I'll tell you what, it sure looks pretty fishy. Some of the stuff that was going on,
and the way they're behaving after the event is fishy also.
Anything George W. Bush does is fishy. You know, some of these critiques I was getting. We read. I don't know if your internet might have been down, but we were reading.
Yeah, I guess that's from being raised up. By Maine or something, you know, the fishy.
Yeah.
Part of this country, you know?
Well, they don't fish in Texas, do they? Have some coastline. They may have some fish there. If they haven't been killed by the oil spill, of course, that's just what the environmentalists would lead us to believe. But no, at any rate, the George W. Bush Star Wars link was made this morning by Chuck Baldwin. Thought it was kind of interesting that he thought, well, you know, the Darth Vaderite, where you actually get rid of a democracy or a republic and displace it. And replace it, I should say, with a dictatorship, an empire. George Lucas himself commented in the story, apparently that was related by Chuck Baldwin, that even he was shocked to see just how similar George W. Bush is to the Darth Vader figure that he invented 30 years ago. That actually he's going to change our way of life, our freedoms, and so forth, and give them up so that we have the tyranny that comes through.
All politicians. I believe from the courthouse, state house, or the Congress, they'd like as much power as they possibly can. They wouldn't be there if they didn't believe so. You know, the state is at heart.
Yes.
They'd be 1%, maybe not, that actually believes in the right of people to self-governance. But the Bush family, they're certainly a top-down family. They enjoy, you know, controlling, manipulating situations to their benefit.
Yes, no kidding.
Read the history, y'all. I mean, it's there.
Well,
read the history on our political leaders. Who they married to and who are lied to and what they profit from, what enterprises they're invested in.
Just
read it.
I was just listening.
Or watch Alex Jones' videos.
Right. I was listening to someone tell me about the Walker family and how it's a family that basically had as much money pretty close as the Rockefellers or Morgans or any of these big magnates. And Bush is all part of this dynasty of very wealthy aristocrats here in America. The whole Prescott thing with his father and great grandfather and grandfather and all what they were doing, you can follow the money line and the power line and see that it's no coincidence that he's in office.
All you have to do is be a bit inquisitive and read the information, and don't believe what they say. Believe what they do, what they've done. He comes across as being a God-fearing Christian and. You know, thoughtful, prayerful, but I think it's just a facade. You know, I hate to say it, but I think it's just a facade to get the so-called solid majority on his side. But
that's right.
But he's not for those folks, Aurora. So he's not. It's a complete opposite.
Right. Well, thanks so much for the call this morning. We're going to take a long break here at Christian Worldview. We're going to try once again to see if we can't get Chuck Baldwin back on the air. Not Chuck Baldwin.
Sure, thanks again, Alex Jones. For spreading some truth, and you'll have a good week over there.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the call, Paul. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, as I said, we're going to take a long break here and see if we can't get Alex Jones on the line, so stay tuned with Christian Worldview. We'll be back in a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Right is right, even if everyone is against it, and wrong is wrong, even if everyone is for it. William Penn.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain. You're listening to TRN.
Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We are so glad you've joined us today on the radio broadcast. We're having a great day and weather-wise in Greenville today, but also because we have a very special guest on our show today, Mr. Alex Jones. Had some trouble getting him on the line at 8 o'clock. Our fault, no doubt, not his. But he's here joining us now, and we're so glad you've been able to join us today, Alex. Welcome to Christian Worldview. Thanks very much for being on the show with us today. You are on the air, Alex. Listen, we have some listeners that have had just a great deal of interest in listening to your programs in general. And sometimes we get a recorded show off of some things that you've done in the past, and we know that you know a bit about the 9/11 events. And we've had some callers calling in on both sides saying, no, it was not part of a conspiracy, that George W. Bush did not know what was going on, and others would say, no, yes, he did, for sure. Can you fill us in with any details about the 9/11 event?
Well, absolutely. So much of what we see happening today is built on the foundation of 9/11, and that foundation is a lie. First off, for the record, I just want to say this. trying to look at the world politically through their own glass darkly, as the Bible tells us. First off, George W. Bush is a puppet. George W. Bush isn't running anything.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton was a puppet in many respects as well. So when we look at these presidents, you know, this is not the end of the power chain. This is not where the buck is stopping. And I am not defending Bush or saying he's good. What I'm saying is when we say Bush knew or Bush was involved, we mean the forces that control this presidency. So first off out of the gates, let's talk about the facts, not the rhetoric. George Bush is appointing anti-gun individuals to almost every federal judgeship, as the attorney general, you name it. George Bush wants blanket, total amnesty for all illegal aliens in this country. George Bush has been appointing people who are rapidly pro-abortion, like Alberto Gonzalez, who doesn't want 12-year-olds to have to tell their parents when they have abortions.
Right.
George Bush signed back on to UNESCO. That's the big United Nations bureaucracy that tells the Department of Education and others how to run our schools. George Bush, the list of things he's done, the lying, just all of it, the praying at Shinto shrines in Japan, the praying to Allah, the Skull and Bones, the Bohemian Grove, this man, I don't care how many paid-off preachers say that he's the Messiah, this man is not a prophet, this man is not a Christian, this man's fruits are pure evil, and people need to get past this great delusion that they've been given, and they know in their guts right now, if they were able to be touched by the Holy Spirit, perhaps they're too far gone, that this man is of the devil. Plain and simple. So to those that are in denial, I'll say, get behind me, Satan, because they need to wake up. And I hope for some people out there, this isn't pearl before swine, because I don't want them to turn and, you know, basically gore me. The facts are, we have the official U.S. government document to carry out 9/11 style attacks. It's on PrisonPlanet.com. It's on Infowars.com. I have made now 3 films on 9/11. I have written a book. I have published a book. I have hundreds of mainstream news articles on each website, but stuff that always gets ignored or overlooked. For my new film, Martial Law, 9/11 Rise of the Police State, my best work ever, this 3-hour miniseries I've made predominantly on 9/11, in the film, we have a bibliography online at martiallaw911.info, and there's links to this on Infowars.com. It's an information resource companion to the film. Every document, every article, every bill that we show in the film has a bibliography, 400 of them, online. So everything that we show you on the screen, you can then go online and read the article for yourself. Like Operation Northwoods, one of 400 that we put in the film. And Operation Northwoods was the official U.S. government plan from decades ago to hijack jets by remote control and crash them. This is the U.S. government wanted to do this, to bomb D.C., to commit sniper attacks across the country, to attack Marine Corps bases overseas and then blame it on foreign enemies. And this got green-lighted all the way to Kennedy. This was an operational plan. And he said no to the plan, and it was shortly after assassinated. But then I have a plan that was actually carried out, Operation Gladio. It was just declassified 2 years ago. And it went on until 1979, over 125 bombings in Europe, mainly in Italy, blowing up school buses, bombing people, to then blame it on political enemies. So it's the oldest trick in the book. Hitler did it shortly after being elected. He firebombed his own Capitol building, arrested some patsies, and got Reich security, or land security. We've heard that before. Land security.
Yeah.
To defend the fatherland. And so for people that don't understand why the government would do something like this, number one, they're not thinking in the mindset of the globalists, those bringing in this Antichrist world system.
Yeah.
They need crises to scare the public into giving up their liberties. And there's countless other examples of this. PMAC, in a document written by Dick Cheney in September 2000, he said, we need helpful Pearl Harbor events to get the people behind a war. We need a catalyzing event. Brzezina Brzezinski, one of the founders of the Trilateral Commission, in his book, Grand Chessboard 97, said that we need a helpful, again, that same term, Pearl Harbor event. Gary Hart, at a Council on Foreign Relations meeting, 3 days after September 11th, and this is in two of my films, 9/11 Road to Tyranny and Masters of Terror, he says we need to use this disaster for what George Bush's father called for, a new world order. Well, Hitler called for a new world order. Stalin called for a new world order. H.G. Wells called for a new world order. George Bush Sr. called for a new world order. Mao Zedong called for a new world order. All these people, and a world order is a new order or a worldwide dictatorship. And the evidence, I mean, number one, we all learned right after 9/11 because people like myself were out there exposing it. I mean, I was there day one, the day of the event. I was there 2 months before, and that's covered in one of my films. Hmm. But day one, I was there pointing the finger at the military-industrial complex. That doesn't mean our men and women in uniform. That doesn't mean even most of the brass. That means the corporations that have grown up around the military-industrial complex that are now taking over our society. The military-industrial complex are the groups putting up the cameras on the street corners and making the money. They're the ones putting the thumb scanners, the biometrics in, the RFID chips that are going on all the products. They're the people that own the companies pushing the implantable microchips. They're taking all that power they have and expanding it and leveraging it into a takeover of society. And everybody heard right after 9/11 that Bush knew that he had specific memos from the NSA and the FBI and the CIA and even the Mossad and the German intelligence and the British intelligence and the French intelligence and the Egyptian intelligence and the Russian intelligence and the Japanese intelligence and the Chinese intelligence. And because this chatter was everywhere. But what the foreign countries didn't know is that the globalists were going to orchestrate the attacks. They meant all that chatter to be there. So good agents and good people would bring the White House these documents. Bush would see them. Hey, they're planning to hijack jets, fly them into buildings. What are you going to do? And he ordered FBI agent Robert Wright to have a press conference on C-SPAN with David Shippers and others. And they stood up and said, here's the letter. We've been threatened with arrest, and we tell you what we know. All we can say is, this is a quote, the Bush's vacation with the Bin Ladens. Hmm. And that's in my film, The Masters of Terror. And so all this is going on. Well, then Bush said it's a conspiracy theory. Don't tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories. We never had prior knowledge. We never heard of such a plan. Well, now we all know they had. We know hundreds and hundreds of times. We know it's been in the newspapers hundreds of times in the 5 years before 9/11. But then people say, well, if the government had prior knowledge, what else went on? Well, there's hundreds of pieces of evidence on this subject, and I can go over those, some of those if you'd like. But bottom line, people say, well, Arab terrorists were on board those planes, so if they were working for the globalists, why did they kill themselves? And I can diagram and dissect exactly how it was done, why it was done. And it's important for people to understand that I think the Muslims are very dangerous. I think the Muslim, you know, extremists are very dangerous. I think there are real Muslim terrorist groups out there. I'm a Christian. But they use this boogeyman of the Muslims are going to get you. Bush is the Lord, basically. Blasphemous type talk. He's going to save us. And that's a fraud. They are using the Muslims as a threat to bring in this police state that's really going to be focused on Christians and conservatives. Look at the anti-terror drills, you know, where they simulate homeschoolers being terrorists. Look at all the things we've seen happening. But This is what happened.
Okay.
So-called hijackers were government informants and government agents who thought they were part of a drill that day. And I have all the proof of this. They boarded those aircraft, believing that they were part of a drill, and something knocked out the occupants of the plane in the middle of the simulated hijacking, and then the planes were taken over by remote control, ancient technology, 30 years old, and flown into those structures. Now, I've got evidence at every point of that statement that I could go over if you'd like.
Okay, hey, this is excellent information, Alan. It's very interesting to hear what you've had to say so far. And I want to make just a couple comments, then we're going to go to a break and come back and carry on this conversation. By the way, Alex, we're with you completely when you're talking about the character of George Bush and his duplicity and his vileness in destroying this country and bringing us down. We are clearly behind you in advocating the same thing. In fact, just earlier this morning, we were talking about George W. Bush a little further and relating him to some other diabolical instances and events. But at any rate, I have some. There's going to no doubt some people are going to be asking questions about, you know, why of all this, and you've answered that to some extent. But why use such an expensive plane instead of using a missile to attack the building? And I think I know what you're going to say. You're going to come back and say, well, it was to promote a cover-up, to make it look the way, you know, like it was something that was that was terrorism. If it's a missile, then they can more easily point fingers at the government of the United States. And we're also going to have some questions that arise about the actual collapse of the building. In fact, when we come back from the break, Alex, if you can give us some clues as to why you believe or how you think they actually demolished those buildings. Some people say there were charges there, Popular Mechanics story. In fact, when I come back from the break, I'll bring us out with a reminder of what the Popular Mechanics story said, and I'm going to turn it back over to you, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about how the structures went. We're going to have about a 2.5-minute break.
Okay,
Thank you. Okay, Alex, we'll be back in just a minute. This is you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Contemplate the mangled bodies of your countrymen, and then say, what should be the reward of such sacrifices? If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude than the animating contest of freedom, go from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains sit lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. Samuel Adams.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The ultimate result of shielding men from the effects of folly is to fill the world with fools. Herbert Spencer, English philosopher, 1820 through 1903.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College.
Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're here in Greenville where it's currently in the low 60s, going to get up to close to 80 degrees today. A beautiful day in the upstate of South Carolina. If you're making your way out to work, you're glad that you've joined us. We have a very special guest on the line with us today, Mr. Alex Jones, who's made several videos about the 9/11 debacle, with what happened behind the scenes. He has he's of the opinion very clearly, as he summarized last hour for us, that George W. Bush, it was just a lackey, that other people were operating behind the scenes in order to create a Pearl Harbor event. His idea is essentially that we had jets taken over by remote control. They were actually flown by government agents who thought they were doing a terrorist practice event. And in fact, they ended up putting all the people to sleep in the plane, says Alex Jones. And then these government agents inadvertently were flown into the building when the planes were taken over by remote control, and they used this expensive tactic in order to create a Pearl Harbor event in order to expand George Bush's power. I think I've got that right so far, Alex, but before we return the phone back or the mic back over to you, let me just summarize what the other side has been saying so you can comment critically on it and give your view on why it's actually been happening otherwise. Popular Mechanics came out with an article that said, look, it's possible for the buildings to have collapsed. The fuel may only burn at 1,400 to 1,800 degrees in these jets when they blow up. But because we had so much combustible material inside the World Trade Center itself, we were able to actually reach a heat level high enough, around 1,800 degrees, that it weakened structurally the structural steel there and caused the building to then collapse. And so they're saying that, in fact, it didn't need to get to 2,750 degrees to melt the steel, but this was fine enough to do this much. I think it was 1,800 degrees, and then it acted sort of as a pile driver. So in reality, the planes did cause the demolition of the buildings. Alex, I don't know if you have any remarks about that. Are you with us okay on the line here, Alex?
I'm here. I can only hear part of what you're saying.
I'm sorry. For some reason, we've had some technical difficulties with our phones this morning, as our listeners are knowing here. I'm a little bit flustered about all of that. I hope you can hear.
Oh, that's okay. That happens in radio. I can hear you fine now. Let me try to answer the first question you gave me before we went to break, and I'll get into second one that I've got part of. I mean, I'm familiar with the popular mechanic disinformation piece written by the cousin of the Homeland Security Director, Michael Chertoff, Benjamin Chertoff, who will not debate me, by the way, on what he put in that article, on my own program or on any other program. But let me just try to go over that since you raise it and since you bring up that first point. Why not missiles? Because you can't have the pictures of these Arabs. You can't have this big, terrifying display. They're going to ask, where did terrorists get missiles? And then, well, missiles aren't going to bring down buildings. And I'm just going off the official U.S. government plans, Northwoods and others, where the U.S. government explains why they want to do this. In Northwoods, they say, killing Americans will cause a helpful wave of national indignation and anger. So this is the official government documents. Now, in Popular Mechanics and their straw man argument hit piece, they have like 14 points in that article. And a lot of the points they raise are, frankly, valid. I don't agree with everyone out there on the Internet who has their theories about 9/11. I go off the facts of 9/11, so I can't defend some other people's ideas that I believe are incorrect that Popular Mechanics attacked. But I do know this. Popular Mechanics makes a claim by talking to the spokesman for NORAD and says that jets had never been scrambled to intercept errant passenger or private planes in the years before 9/11, except once. They say one time with Payne Stewart, the golfer. Well, folks, that's not true. I pulled up an AP that same spokesman saying it was something like 196 times in the year before 9/11 that they did this. My father is a pilot, okay? He has a lot of friends who've gotten off course in storms, flown over restricted airspace, and have had F-16s fly up and threaten to shoot them down. Huh. Pilots are probably listening right now that know all about this. So you read that. Number one, that's a lie, okay? Number two, I talked to people with Popular Mechanics. 6 months before they did this hit piece, they were taken over by a whole new group of editors and people. That's clearly another case of, you know, like Armstrong Williams, where we've got these controlled government front publications or talent news service with Bush's good special friend, Jeff Gannon, the male prostitute. So we've got this fake media out there. Then they get into the buildings. Now, number one, the Homeland Security's report on 9/11 says they don't know what made it come down. The 9/11 Commission's report has changed their story three times. They were saying fire made the buildings come down, but scientists have looked at what jet fuel burns at, so now they say, no, the buildings were built wrong. They weren't structurally, didn't have integrity. And now they say the North Tower fell into Building 7, that 47-story building that caught fire later that day with two small fires, and imploded on itself. But everybody knows the North Tower, none of it hit Building 7, much less did it fall and knock out the main support column in the middle of the building. Totally made up. But why do I say they blew it up? In my new film, Martial Law, 9/11 Rise of the Police State, we have from the PBS documentary, Larry Silverstein, who had these record insurance policies on the buildings for, what, over $7 million, two $3.5 million insurance policies on a $100-and-some million investment. He bought it 2 months before 9/11. He got up on PBS and said, yeah, we made the decision to blow up the building. We made the decision to pull the building. Well, I already had the article out of the New York Daily News where they told AP photographers, get back, we're going to pull the building. Remember Building 7, folks? It wasn't hit by a jet. It was two blocks away. Buildings right up against Tower 1 and 2 that weren't owned by Silverstein had light damage or no damage. But some that even had the buildings fall into them didn't fall down after burning for a day. But Building 7 that had Giuliani and the CIA's command base in it, by the way, and the FTC and everybody else was based at there, FEMA, you name it. Go look at who was in that building. They all pull out, then it catches fire. Giuliani told Peter Jennings he was, quote, told to get out. It catches fire on the 7th and 12th floors and then explodes and implodes. You know, first it was a gas tank in the bottom of the building. Then they confirmed that never blew up and that would bring a building down. Then it was the fires. Then now it's structural problems. Now it's the building fell into it. It's not true. They blew up Building 7, and that would take at least a week to put those explosives in it. So it's just like Bill Clinton in Oklahoma City. And again, I made a film on that subject. The government carries out these attacks to scare the people into submission. So what the Popular Mechanics thing does is it attacks a couple of really kooky conspiracy theories that can't be proven by kooks.
Okay.
More than it misrepresents. Look, I talked to them 5-6 times on the phone, and they said, we promise, Mr. Jones, this is not a hit piece. You have our word. And they'd ask me a question. I'd send them documents, mainstream news. Suddenly, that wouldn't be in the article. They go, okay, we're not doing anything on that now. Let's move on to this. Then they call me up, and they go, we called the seismologist in New York about explosives, and they say they didn't talk to you. And I said, well, I never said I talked to seismologists. What are you asking me? Well, this article you have posted says that they talked to these seismologists. And I said, well, what does the article say? Well, it says American Free Press. And I said, well, you know that's not my publication. You know websites, you know, CNN links to other people's articles. I go, why didn't you call the author? Did you ask if they talked to the author? No, we asked if they talked to you. So they were building straw men, false arguments to try to tear down. And so I said, well, you better not say I wrote that article, which, by the way, they had talked to that author. Mm-hmm. So that'd be like if I'd written an article and I talked to people and the press you'd say, no, of course not. Well, did Alex Jones? Yes. So the thing is a straw man, false arguments. Mm-hmm. But listen, they don't want to respond to us. They're afraid. And the fact that they're having to attack me in Vanity Fair and Popular Mechanics and American Legion and Front Page Magazine and the New York Times and the Washington Post, the fact that they're having to do this shows that they're in deep trouble, shows their lies are unraveling. They had a zombie poll in New York, and half of New Yorkers believe the government had prior knowledge or was involved. They had a CNN poll with 18,000 respondents, over 18,000, and 90% believe the government's covering up 9/11. We all know we've been lied to. We know they're using 9/11 to enslave us. We know the borders are still wide open. We know we're being sold a fraud. And so what I want to ask your listeners to do is to go to Infowars.com, Infowars.com, Infowars, short for Information War, Infowars.com, and you can watch half of my new film, the three-hour film, an hour and a half, for free on the website. You can go to PrisonPlanet.tv, 15 cents a day. We have monthly subscriptions. Watch all 12 of my films, read my book, print off copies, read Paul Watson's book, look at dozens of other films we've been authorized to post at PrisonPlanet.tv. Make up your own mind. Or call and get a hard copy. And you're free to make copies of it. I want you to make copies to educate people, to spread the word. And when you're watching the film, click through on my website to martiallaw911.info. Every article, every document, every bill that we have in the film with the time code, the second it appears, and the duration it appears, is posted there. It's like 98% of the articles. A few were like from the mid-80s, so those are on the internet. But you need to go there, and you need to get, listeners, Martial Law. And the toll-free number is 1-888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. And I really pray that people will get this film because it's so powerful. We go to ground zero. We expose it all. We go through the hundreds of points. And then we show in the last hour of the film who George Bush is, who the Democrats are, who the Republicans are, what Skull and Bones is, what Bohemian Grove is, what they're really into, and it will blow your mind, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, we really appreciate that information, Alex. Thanks so much for giving us that. I want to ask you some more questions about this, and I know our listeners are really in tune this morning. This is some stuff that they have not heard before. They've heard the other side, but you're giving them some very rational explanation. When we come back from the break, Alex, if you can be mulling over the idea of the explosive charges. Some people say that they saw explosions going on in the building, that it was not only the remote control or whatever it might be within the planes that hit the building.
Firefighters have said it. Everybody watching it, Dan Rather, Peter Jennings, it looks like bombs. I mean, look, Building 7, the penthouse falls, the main support column goes out, and it folds in on itself. A modern steel building has never collapsed from fire. In Madrid, it burned for a day and a half with 100-foot white-hot flames. Two little bitty fires caused a seven-story building to perfectly fold in on itself. I mean, that's not what happens.
Yeah.
It fell as fast as gravity. It was blown out. The owner says he blew it up.
Man, that's just fascinating. I'll tell you, we're going to continue this in just a minute. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Cohen with special guest today, Mr. Alex Jones, who's authored many books and has some great videos and so forth that he's done on the 9/11 catastrophe. At any rate, we're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Warning, Dr. Cohen's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Right is right, even if everyone is against it, and wrong is wrong, even if everyone is for it. William Penn.
Hi, this is Dr. John Cohen. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros. That's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals. That's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And boy, this morning, folks, aren't we providing roughage for your brain? I'll tell you what, there's more than meets the eye. There's more than the popular media would have you believe about the 9/11 attacks. Now, I've said all along, you know, folks, my PhD is in public policy and I know about economics, but I don't know anything about engineering. And we'd be glad to have some people give us another view of this, because I just thought it was very strange how neatly those buildings fell down, especially when you hear about Building 7, which is beyond the scope of how in the world did it fall down? Well, Alex Jones is here giving us some excellent information today on that. We wanted to ask Alex some more questions about the apparent explosions that people saw that were coming down as the buildings dropped, as well as the new news about Bush's homosexual or bisexual affairs, perhaps. Of course, we know that Bush has appointed more homosexual activists to the bench, to the ambassadorships, and in his cabinet than any other president ever has. So there's some other nefarious things or wicked things going on here, and Alex is doing a very excellent job of showing us a different angle on things. Now, even if you don't agree, you've got to admit, folks, that Alex has done his homework on this, and we have to look a little bit deeper. The biggest beneficiary of the 9/11 attacks, bar none, has been the federal government. They've been mailed to invade our liberties through the Patriot Act, take away our liberties, and just slam us with so many new regulations that you can't even go through an airport without getting fingerprinted. We have a national ID card that's going through. It's getting worse and worse. We're going right down the road to tyranny on account of this Pearl Harbor event. That's obvious to me from a public policy point of view. Now, what I'm interested to know that Alex has to say more about is the engineering parts, the actual plot, and why they actually did this sort of stuff. Why did they go through it? And he's answered that significantly already, but I think all of our listeners, you are all interested in knowing as well just how in the world they pulled this thing off, and you know, with the bombs and the imploding of these buildings and the plans, and just how many people had to be involved. Then the big question, Alex, and I'm going to turn this over to you now, we're going to have is how do they keep so many people quiet? And who was killed on those planes? Were they just put to sleep and then just martyred? And then if there's so many people involved, how in the world do they keep the so-called conspiracy quiet here? Or maybe they haven't kept it quiet. If you can comment on those things, I'd appreciate it, Alex.
Well, number one, you were asking what was the motive?
Yes.
I mean, the motive is to be able to silence their political enemies, to say, we're your saviors, give up all your liberties, to have hundreds of billions of dollars a year in weapon sales, to get $4 trillion of oil out of Iraq, that's just the oil they found, to at the same time use Iraq as a military launch base into many different areas of the world. And these are the goals of PNAC, Project for New American Century, 25 members, including Dick Cheney, Jeb Bush, where they put in public policy reports in the late 90s and in 2000 what they wanted to do, what their goals were. And they said, we need the Pearl Harbor event because it'll help us get our world empire. It'll help us get the oil. They said this. It'll help us use Iraq as a military launch base. It'll help us go into Afghanistan that wasn't producing any opium and now is at record levels. It's produced and turned into heroin. And so that was your number one question. What's the motive? I mean, number one, get control, turn America into a dictatorship so they can then use it as an engine of domination and control. Then you had your second question. And what was that second question again?
About Bush's sordid affairs and his homosexual or bisexual link.
Sure. I mean, George Bush, I mean, look, right here in Texas, with other notable politicians, we have the congressman out in California who's pushing the national ID card. It comes out that he's got, you know, his male mistresses shacked up. Comes out in the L.A. Times, but if it's a Republican, they stay in office, and, oh, isn't that Christian and of the Lord? But if it was a Democrat, boy, they got to leave office immediately, like the New Jersey governor. And again, I'm not defending any of this. And then you have Jeff Gannon, Mr. Guckert, is his real name, and this guy is a male prostitute running porn sites, and he's got hundreds of these midnight visits to the White House. He's got total security clearance, CIA level, with no other member of the media is being given. They won't tell us who gave us his credentials. And, you know, he's showing up at the White House over and over again at midnight. And, I mean, the whole White House is just full of this. Even GQ, a few months ago, had the cover story. Jessica Alba was on the cover, but the big cover story where it shows Bush doing this little limp-wristed pose, and it says you have to be gay to be a Republican leader. And, I mean, yeah, it's like a cult. We know at Bohemian Grove that I snuck into in 2000, we know it's Skull and Bones, but Bohemian Grove is when they're old men, that we know last year at the July meeting, even the New York Post reported that top gay porn stars were, quote, being shipped in to, quote, service the moguls. And I've got articles from the 80s about all the homosexuality. Richard Nixon, in his own, it was recorded by Harper's Magazine. It's now been released by the Nixon Library. He says, you know the Bohemian Grove? Yeah. No, I'm not talking about the one based in San Francisco. That's the office. No, I mean in Northern California. Yes, just, well, I'm a member there. Let me tell you, it's the most cheating, faggy thing you've ever seen in your life. It's just disgusting. and we have that clip on the website.
Yeah. Well, very interesting. Okay, so then the third question comes down to, again, the actual placement of the demolition, the explosives to do this, and how long it took them to plan this thing ahead of time. I mean, they had to have weeks.
A month before, and then right up to a week before, they kept having drills and evacuating, and they would evacuate whole floors and say that they were doing renovation in both buildings. And then we know that Building 7, the 47-story building, had the FBI, the CIA, FEMA, the City Command Center, and we believe from the evidence that that was the command base for running the hijacked jets, was Building 7 itself. Then they torched the evidence. But how they put the bombs in there, I don't know. I just know that all the experts, the seismographs, the witnesses say bombs, and the owner says, yeah, we blew up Building 7.
Huh. Well, how in the world do they keep this thing covered up like this? I mean, how can you...
Tell you is the Bush's vacation with the Bin Ladens. Here's the letter I've been given under national security. I'll be arrested if I tell you what I know. I mean, that's David Shippers on stage with FBI agent Robert Wright, with Judicial Watch founder Larry Klayman. That's in my film, Masters of Terror. We've got all these other people going public. We've got the number three guy at the CIA saying we're not worried about Bin Laden. We don't want to capture Bin Laden. We've got just hundreds of examples of this. But so I don't really know what I can. I mean, there's just hundreds of whistleblowers. There's the number three man in the Blair government resigned. Michael Meacher went public and said it's got to be the government.
Well, that's
Andreas von Bülow, the German defense minister, when he retired 2 years ago, went public and said it's got to be the U.S. government. Hmm. I mean, everybody's talking, and they haven't hidden it. 90% of CNN polls say there's a cover up. I mean.
But what
the mainstream? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said that's excellent point. I guess what you're going to say then next is that the reason most Americans, when I walk up to them and say to them things like, "Look, it was George Bush, the CIA, or whoever else behind all this, the FBI," I can name any number of agencies and say they were the ones who were really doing this. They're going to look at me like I'm some sort of kook and I'm cross-eyed. The reason that happens is because the mainstream media has refused to report the facts from so many whistleblowers, is what you're saying, in the same way that they cover up, or not cover up, but suppress the Constitution Party or the Libertarian Party from participating in mainstream politics. So the media is complicit in all of this as well, then.
Yeah, it's the deceptions and omissions. And omissions are as important as outright deceptions. You know, it's how much of something do you show someone. And exactly, they just ignore what they don't want you to be aware of. Or you may have 100 real whistleblowers. They'll pick a shill like Kathleen Rowley, who only puts out a little bit of disinfo. And they'll ignore, and they go, oh, doesn't she have courage? See, we honor her whistleblowing while threatening to arrest all the others because they got hardcore information. I mean, here's a whistleblower you never hear about. Remember a week after the attacks, actor James Woods got up on Fox, and he said, yeah, I was on an American Airlines flight to L.A. from New York. We stopped in Phoenix. Muhammad Adam and these other guys are on the plane, and they're acting all suspicious, simulating some kind of hijacking. He goes, I got off, went to the FBI and said, arrest them, and they came and threatened to arrest me and said, this is a national security drill. Keep your mouth shut, or wow, you'll be arrested.
Isn't that something? Huh.
The hijackers had their cars, their homes, everything paid for by the U.S. government. But that's come out. We have the articles. Now, that even came out like MSNBC and places, but it's just a little piece here, a little piece there. You know, what a strange twist of fate. The government had informants living with the hijackers and was paying for their houses and their cars and their credit cards. But it was just an accident, and then that news story never gets promoted big time.
Yeah, now that's interesting information. I wonder... what the incentive is for these people in the main media, because you would think that they would make, the first one to break the truth would make billions and billions of dollars if they could actually, you know, go forth with the truth. Instead, they choose not to. So why? What is giving the media the incentive, the mainstream media, a greater incentive than those billions of dollars that they could gain from this to just be quiet, do you think?
Well, they're owned by the same military-industrial complex that owns Big Pharma. And they're making trillions in the aggregate off control.
Okay.
I mean, they're bought and paid for by corporate interest that, you know, their media profits pale in significance to the prison industry and the military industry and the security industry and the airline industry. I mean, it's all owned by the same complex. And look, $242 million in fake newscasts that Bush paid for in 2 years alone for one program.
Hmm.
One program, 240-something mil. The only reason I talk about those fake funds promoting his prescription drug plan or now his Social Security plan is that, folks, it's across the board. How much do you think the federal government spends a year on public service announcements with broadcast TV alone?
It's a huge amount. Go ahead and tell us the figure.
Over $2 billion.
Hmm.
And that's federal government money alone on broadcast TV. It's hundreds of millions on cable.
Wow.
So there's another example of your payoff right there. Why do you think you see Archer Daniels Midland Company agri-food ads all over the news for 10 years when no one buys, no consumer buys directly from Archer Daniels Midland, you know, their boxcars full of sugar cane syrup.
Mm-hmm.
That's a payoff. That's a payoff to the media to keep quiet about genetically engineered food.
Well, I'll tell you what.
See, that stuff is all hidden in plain view.
That's good. That's an interesting way to put it. I should quote that and put it on the front page here. Listen, Alex, it's been a real pleasure having you on the show today. This is very interesting information for our listeners, I think, who've never been heard, haven't heard anything like this before. I'm sure they've been stunned this morning with information. Before we go here, can you just give your website again and the toll-free number that they can call, and then we're going to be at the end of time here.
PrisonPlanet.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, or Infowars.com. You can watch the films there, get hard copies there, or call toll-free 1-888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. And thanks for having me on, guys, and God bless, Vio con Dios.
Okay. Thanks so much, Alex, for being on the show today. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've had a special guest for most of the show today, Mr. Alex Jones, who's an expert on the 9/11 crash and has had just a tremendous amount of information for us. We look forward to having you again tomorrow, being with us right here tomorrow on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until then, God bless you, and we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.